Well, good morning. It's a great day. You guys know I love Sundays. I come already. I also come excited about seeing some of you get squirmed because I'm changing chairs around, Pilar. You know, she needs to thank me. She needs to thank me. Pilar, you really should thank me because every Sunday you come down that hallway and you get anticipatory because you never know what you're going to find. You know, but you should thank me for that. I'm glad you're with us. I tell you what, it has just been, I do look forward to Sundays of being with you and God's people. If you're our guest today, I pray that as you come that you realize that it's not about us, but that we worship as a great family, and what holds us together is one faith, one Lord, and that's why we're here. And so as you come today, I pray that we, as we praise the Lord together, that it is really an overflow of our heart. We're going to end this service with the actual ordinance of communion. Now, communion is a celebration. As we come to communion, it's a celebration. Jesus, as we're going to look at, especially in life groups, you're coming into a study where we're doing called the treasure, Jesus is everything. And I want to encourage you to be in a life group. If you're not in a life group, man, see Matt out here in the foyer, see some of the guys. We encourage you to get in. Most of them are starting this week in different ways with potlucks or whatever, but we would encourage you to be in a life group. But we're starting that, Jesus is everything. And as we come today, I thought, what a great tie to the celebration that we have of communion. Many of you come from a background, and it doesn't matter whether it be a Baptistic background, a Catholic background, in any background that you celebrate communion, there's a very inherent danger in that. The ordinances that were given, there's the ordinance of communion that we celebrate today. The other ordinance that he left us to observe is that of baptism. Let me just throw this out here right now. If you've never been baptized, it's not part of your salvation. It's an outward act of an inward change. If God has changed your life, if you placed your trust in him, and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but you've never taken that next step of baptism, for whatever reason, if you'd like to be baptized, see Pastor Mike or myself, we'd love to set that, arrange it, and have you be baptized. Today we celebrate communion. Now, in any culture of church that you've gone to, the inherent danger is that, even in ours, that communion be something that becomes ritualistic. It's just repeated. And it's repeated. He tells us to repeat it. He tells us to do it. Now, some think you should do it on the, we've kind of landed on the first of every month. It's not always that way. But there's no right time or wrong time to do what you want to do when it comes to communion. Some churches do it every week. Some places do it. But it's part of the body. As we come to celebrate within the body of Christ, we celebrate communion. It is to be repeated. It's never to be a ritual. Never is it to be a ritual. Remembered, he says to remember, it's a reminder of what Christ has done. This is a reminder of what he has done, to be that reminder. It is a celebration of both what he has done in the past and what he will do in the future. It is a celebration that we look back and we see, this is what he's done in my life, this is what he's done for us and in us. But it is also a celebration as what we look to the future, as we look to say one day we are going to see he gives us that. It is a motivator for what we are to be looking for this day. That we are to be looking for his return, the parting of the clouds, the trumpet call of God, and those of us who are alive in Christ will join those who have died in Christ, and we'll be together once again. That is the hope that we have the assurance of 1 Thessalonians for. This past week, man, we had a wonderful service where we honored Mike Hoover. Let me tell you the greatest honor that about that service. Mike was absent. He wasn't there for his own service. Why? Because he was in heaven. Because he had already realized that hope. He realized the reality of that. And one day we're going to be there. And as we celebrate communion, I grew up in a church where, man, and I realize there's a reverence to communion because we look back at what Christ has done and what he's done in our lives. But there's also a celebration. I believe communion ought to be, in one sense, the party. It says, listen, you died for me to have a life and have life eternal. And a quality of life, but you died so that one day I can be with you. I'm not looking at that with dread. I'm looking at that with joy, saying one day I'm going to be there. So it is a celebration. Now we look for that. Now in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the issue of communion. 1 Corinthians, he talks about the church. And he talks about that to examine ourselves to make sure that we're worthy. And when we look at that word, there are some things that he spells out in 1 Corinthians both 11 and 12, and as you go into 13 and the different things. The worthiness, though, is based on the work of Jesus. It's based on the work of Jesus, redemption and loving God. When we understand our redemption, when we understand what he has done for us, the natural response of that is to love God. That celebration, the worthiness of knowing him. Now see, today, I am thankful that as I come, there's no worthiness in my own being. I'm thankful for that, because if it were based upon me, I would have failed. If it were based upon what I do or don't do, if it's based upon my works, whether I can take communion or not, if it's based upon me being worthy, then it'll never happen, because I'll never be worthy enough. But don't you sit there and say, well, I am, because you're not either. The worthiness that we have is built upon him. The only thing that makes us worthy to come to celebrate communion is the redemption that he has done in our life when we give him our life. He says, man, in Christ you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are redeemed, you're justified, declared righteous. He gives us his righteousness through the blood that was shed on that cross. And that's what we celebrate, both the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. So our worthiness, first, is the work of Jesus, his being the Redeemer, that Redeemer that bought us out of sin, that paid that price of loving God. But there's also the work of Jesus in our life, the work of Jesus in loving others. As we come to that issue of loving others, that we are to love God, but we also to love others. I heard earlier this morning, I shared with the band, that as we look at the issue of the Lord Jesus and loving others, I was challenged today because on the radio, I was listening to a Christian show, and it says, there's nobody who you're going to look in their eyes today that Jesus does not love. Yeah. No one that you're going to look in their eyes today that Jesus doesn't love. And then I thought, they didn't say this, but I went one step further. I wonder, as I look in their eyes, do they see the love of Jesus in my eyes seeing them? Wow. Do they see that? Because the work of Jesus in our life is loving others. And he was correcting them at this time in communion in 1 Corinthians. Paul's saying, listen, you come and you don't think of anybody else but yourself. So though God has redeemed you and your issue of communion is being redeemed and known by Jesus, in this area he says you're failing because you consider others more important than yourself. You don't wait for anybody. It's not about serving each other. It's not about mutual submission. It's about, man, it's all about me. And I want to eat. I want that agape love feast that they had. I want the best prime rib. Well, you can have that stuff over there, meatloaf. I want the best. And Jesus has said, man, Paul is saying that you fail in that area. That when we have the work of Jesus in our life as redeemer, as being a redemption of our sin and forgiveness of our sin, the natural outpouring of loving God is to love others. We've talked about it for the last couple of weeks. The challenge is, do we love what he loves? Or do we love what we love? What is it, there's that really in all of our life. We talked about this in our men's group as well, in our warrior work that we're doing on Monday nights, 5:30. Guys, you're welcome to come. I had a great one this last week. Guys, don't forget your challenge for this week. You still have 24 hours or so to fulfill that challenge, okay? So there's your ad. But we talked about the crux of the matter comes down to this. Do we love what he loves, or do we love what we love? Where's the priority? Loving what we love versus he loves. He loves his church. He loves the church. He loves his people. We're to love. He loves serving. He says Jesus modeled that he came to serve. Do you serve? I don't mean just in church. We talked about that. And again, in the men's thing, our personal ministry versus a church ministry, our serving in the church versus serving humanity, serving out there. Man, are we loving those who God brings into our lives? Do we have that challenge of demonstrating that love in some way? Do we love others? Do we love the Word? Do we love the Word in our life? We said the last few weeks, our purpose determines our priorities. Our purpose determines our priorities, does it not? What your purpose is today in life determines the priorities you set for your life. Whatever your purpose is, that determines the priorities that we set. The question would be to ask for us today is, what are our priorities? If you go to, we're not going to look at it this time because we don't have time this morning, but you can write it down. In Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, he talks about a parable. Now, a parable is a story to illustrate a point. That's what a parable is. Jesus talked a lot through parables, through stories, and it's to illustrate a point. And in Luke chapter 14, you'll find that Jesus said that a person threw a banquet, and he sent out the invitations for people to come to the banquet. But when it came time for the banquet, people didn't come. So he sends out his servant to say, hey, go find out why these people aren't coming. Why aren't, and boy, the excuses started. He says, the first guy says, well, I just bought a field and I need to go see the field. Land was important. So that person's excuse was possessions. My possessions are more important than coming to the table set by the master. The second person says, I just bought a new tractor, man. It was great. John Deere. Oh, wait. Five yoke of oxen is what he actually bought. But I just called it a John Deere tractor. He bought a new tractor. And he says, man, I want to go see how this thing. I want to take its pace. And I want to see how it works. I want to get out on that field and start doing the toil and work. It wasn't possessions that was more important. It was work that was more important. His work was more important than going to see the issue and sitting at the table of the master. Thirdly, the person says, well, you know, I got married. I got a new wife. And so really, I don't have time. I don't have time to come to your banquet. Even though the invitation may have been for two. Because family was more important. Our purposes, our priorities are matched by our purpose. We go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, 28, 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be? Now he asks a question here, listen. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Well, that's a good question, but I wonder if we actually stop long enough to look at our own life. Because what he's saying there is our purpose will determine our priorities. He goes on to say in that following passage, which some people have taken way out of context, because he goes on to say, basically, that you should love Jesus more than you love anything else in your life. Your mother, your father, anybody else, you should love Jesus more than any of that. But within that, he says, there's some questions that we can ask, that I asked this morning. Are you decisive and intentional in following Jesus? Every week in our warrior work, men, we've hit this, have we not? That it's our choice. That it's our choice. You can come and raise your hands and get all warm and emotional fuzzy. You can think of religion as however you want. But the bottom line is, are we decisive and intentional in following Jesus? That was a challenge for the men this week, to find an intentional way to show Jesus to somebody, to serve someone and show them Jesus. Are you decisive and intentional in following Jesus today? Or will you walk out of here in just a few minutes and say, oh man, communion was great. We celebrated communion. It was awesome. Man, what he's done in us, and then we forget it? Or do we walk out of here and say, no, I remember what he did, therefore I'm to proclaim it to the world. I'm to tell people around me that Jesus loves them and cares for them, can forgive them of their sin and give them purpose. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But he is. He is. Are we decisive and intentional following Jesus? That verse also asks, are we willing to deny self? In other words, are we willing to stop being selfish, I guess, is really what it says. Are we more concerned with loving our love and loving our things than it is with loving him? Selfishness, I'm telling you, it's rampant, isn't it not? In my own. Boy, we start, comparison kills contentment, and we all of a sudden comparing to what somebody else has. Well, I want that, and why don't I have that, and why can't I get that? All of the things that just become selfish. Willing today to be identified with Christ. You say, well, didn't you ask that question already? Are you intentional in following Jesus? No, because there are people who are intentional in following Jesus as long as nobody knows. That won't work. That verse says, if you want to follow Christ, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And the issue of taking up the cross is that people are going to understand whose you are. Are you willing to be identified with Christ? Men, are we willing to be identified in our workplace? Are we willing to be identified with Christ? Are we willing in maybe a culture, women or men, that, you know, well, it's not politically correct right now. Are you willing to be identified with Christ regardless? Are you willing to be identified with Christ? What are we finding our life and our fulfillment in? Today, what are we finding our life and fulfillment in? The purpose of communion was to realize that he brought us life through his Son, that he will give us life through this as we are aliens in a strange land. This is not our home. We are not citizens of this world, but that he will give us, as he gives us life, he gives us an abundant life. Even now, one day we'll realize that life in heaven. We'll realize the fulfillment. But what are you finding your life of fulfillment in today? Is it kids? Well, hang on, because if you have young ones, someday they're going to let you down. Just like when we were kids, we probably let our parents down. Are you finding it in the things you have in the bank, the money you have in the bank? All it takes is another crash, and it's useless, isn't it not? What are you finding fulfillment in? Work? Man, we toil and we toil and toil, and after, you know, Solomon is like nothing, vanity. What to get us? Where's your life of fulfillment? He says, listen, this, what you need to do is you need to seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew says to seek first his kingdom, and everything else is going to be added to you. What are we striving for? So the question is, what is your life? What if you gain everything you're seeking for today, but you lose that which is most treasured? Jesus is our treasure. Jesus, he is everything. Is he? Is he everything? There's a prayer that the small groups are going to be seeing. In the small group study that we're doing all together, it's this prayer. It should be on the screen. Dear Jesus, I want you in the center of my life and commit through your power to serve and obey you anytime, anywhere, at any cost, to do anything. Whoo! Are you reading that? Can we take that out these doors? That's what our life groups are going to be looking at. I guess you better buckle up, or, you know, pucker up, buttercup, here it comes. Is Jesus everything? Is he the treasure that we will treasure and guard and love, and everything else will fail? Is he your treasure? Man, can each of us look at that? It's not about the person next to you. It's not about your kids. It's not about saying, man, I wish they'd pray that prayer. They really need that prayer. No, it's about me. Dear Jesus, Bill wants you in the center of his life. And I want to commit through your power. There's the operative word there, folks. Through his power. What he has done in our lives to serve and obey you with intention, with direction, anytime, anywhere, never ashamed. Never ashamed of the gospel. Never ashamed of what Jesus has done in my life. I am thankful that he took a reckless chance on a high school kid who reached down, who knew all the religion, who knew all religious terms, but said, you don't know me. And I found everything. Oh, it struggles at times, guys. You all know it. But the question is, can we really truly say, man, Jesus, you're everything in my life? Father God, as we come to celebrate communion in just a moment, I pray that as we celebrate this communion in this moment, that that prayer will be resonating in our heart and in our life. That you sent your Son to die for us, that we might have life and have it to the fullest. We celebrate what you have done and the reminder that you came to give us life and life abundant, but that one day we will see the clouds part and hear the trumpet call of God, and you will call us home to be with you. So we celebrate what you have done, but we look forward with anticipation to what you are going to yet to do. And the promise that will be fulfilled is Jesus everything. God, I pray in our hearts as we take communion that we will once again renew. It's never to be ritualistic, not to be repetitive, just to repeat. But God, it is part of our worship and our offering to you. So as each element passes today, I pray that we will be offering our life as a living sacrifice to you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As the men come, I'm going to ask you to take the elements. Hold the elements. We'll partake of them together. There's going to be both elements, the bread and the cup. Thank you, Mike. And we will celebrate them together. At this time, let them serve you there. Charlene, can you roll that prayer back up there? Is it possible? As we come to take these elements, we remember what he's done. It says on the night he was betrayed, I always find that interesting, on the very night that he was betrayed, it says he took the bread, his body represented, that was given for us, bruised, in agony, and took upon him the sin of the world. And today we celebrate that body that was broken for us. Let's do it together. It says he then took the cup. This cup is symbolic. It represents the new covenant. Not the old covenant that was one of works, but a new covenant of grace. Getting what we don't deserve, that unmerited favor. And today, God is a gracious God. He looks at us and says, "You're forgiven. I love you. Just trust in me." This represents the blood that was shed. That blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. His blood that gives us that imputed righteousness to him. And so we celebrate today the new covenant of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Partake together. An old chorus comes to mind. Father, we love you today. In our failings and our failures, we love you. I am so thankful today it's not based on my faithlessness, but it's based on your faithfulness. Thank you for the work that was done on the cross through your Son to give me life, to the abundant life. And I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. For giving me a fulfillment of purpose. God, may we leave this room acknowledging that your joy is to be made complete in sharing this with the world. God, may we realize that every person we look at today is loved by you. May we be the visible representation of you this day and in every day that comes. For it in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Mike.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Bill. What an honor it is to be able to celebrate communion. Just the symbolism that it represents. So just, I want to thank you guys for that. First-time guests, we do offer as a gift for you guys. We have a plant in the back. We'd encourage you to take a plant. Take it home, water it, pray for us as a church, come back, become family. First time, normally we say you're a visitor. Next time after that, you're family. Sometimes it doesn't even take that long. So love to have you come back and visit us. If you have any questions, we'd love to be able to answer any questions for you guys. We do, unlike a lot of churches, we don't pass an offering plate. We have offering boxes in the back and up front. And we also do online giving, and we also have text giving, too. So there's multiple ways. There's flyers in the back and flyers up front that shows you how you can do that also. Be encouraged to sign up for a life group if you're not signed up. There are some sign-ups still out here. If there's something that Bill said, nothing he said, just really feel like you need to pray with somebody, you've got Jake and Mariah over here that would love to pray with you guys. So encourage you to do that. As Bill said, we go out this week, and I hope, and that's my prayer, is that you go out this week and really examine the Jesus that you're being for those outside these walls. See you guys.